Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. 3.4 million U.S. citizens live in Puerto Rico, but according to a Morning Consult poll published in the New York Times, only 54% of Americans know that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. So if most Americans don't think Puerto Ricans are citizens, how does that influence the way Puerto Ricans, or by extension other Latinos born in this country, see themselves? Nilda Flores Gonzalez is a professor of sociology at the University of Illinois at Chicago who has researched the attitudes toward national identity among young Latinos and Latinas, including young Puerto Ricans. She joins me now to discuss her new book, Citizens But Not Americans, Race and Belonging Among Latino Millennials. Welcome to the show, Professor Flores Gonzalez.
Hi, I'm glad to be in your show today.
And your goal was to unpack the process of race making, as you call it, by taking a look at how Latino millennials experience othering in everyday life and how that impacts the way they see themselves. Why did you choose Latino millennials in particular to study?
Well, my work has always revolved around Latino youth. And in 2006, when the large immigration marches were going on, we did a study at the university looking, and in my part of the study, I was looking at why were young Latinos marching in large numbers? And what we found was that a lot of them were U.S. citizens, and that many of them were marching for family members and for, as they say, they call themselves as the voice of the voiceless. They could, as citizens, engage in political actions that may be risky for others. So that was sort of the beginning. And what came out of that particular set of interviews was this sense that these young people were talking about. It was not only that they were marching for others, but they were also marching for themselves because they saw themselves as not being recognized as Americans and as being, as they say, they use terms like I'm not really American or I'm a different kind of American. And that's what spearheaded the set of interviews that informed this book in looking into why these young Latinos see themselves as not being fully American or at least not being recognized. And I want to point out that they do see themselves as Americans. They feel American and they identify as American. The problem is that others don't see them as such. And so therefore they experience a lot of discrimination, a lot of attitudes from people that convey to them that they do not belong in this country.
And many of the subjects in your study begin to qualify themselves as a racial middle. So what does it mean for Latinos to think of themselves as a racial middle, given the binary race choices of being white or black that so much American political discourse revolves around?
In this country, we tend to think of race in terms of this racial binary, in terms of black and white, and then other groups like Latinos, Asians, people from the Middle East are sort of inserted into these groups. And so there's a lot of work, scholarly work that looks at Latinos as being sort of a white ethnic group or that Latinos are becoming white and like European groups are sort of, you know, assimilating it and becoming white. And what these young people were saying is that we're not white, we're not black, we are something else. We are our own group. And that group is located in the racial hierarchy that exists in this country in which whites are at the top and receive, you know, most of the benefits and privileges, and blacks at the bottom of this hierarchy, that they saw themselves as being somewhere in the middle. And this was a middle that collectively, you know, that Latinos occupied this racial middle. But within this middle, they also, some of them recognize that Latinos themselves individually fluctuated as to where the location of that middle was for each individual. And so those who were lighter skin have more class privilege, have more connection to whites, were raised in the suburbs, many times saw themselves as a middle that tilted toward whites, while others who had experienced more discrimination, perhaps were darker skin, and also had more connections to black communities, saw themselves as more a middle that tilted toward blacks.
So listeners, help us report this story or just put some of your human stories on the context here of University of Illinois sociology professor Nilda Flores-Gonzalez's study contained in her new book, Citizens But Not Americans, Race and Belonging Among Latino Millennials. Are you a Latino or Latina millennial, defined here as ages 16 to 36? Call in with your experiences and your sense of identity in the ways that Professor Flores-Gonzalez has been describing her subjects. Does this sound like you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Specifically to her point, how American do you feel? How something other than American? How racially middle? 212-433-9692. If anyone, and you don't have to be exactly in the 16 to 36 year age group, but if you are, then it totally replicates the book. 212-433-9692. So, for example, one of your people, Raul, a 21-year-old second-generation Mexican, without downplaying the black experience, brought up the fact that the way the history is taught to children in this country, quote, leaves out a lot of other cultures or races and experiences in a way that the historic marginalization and injustices of other groups are completely obscured. So we know that Latinos, Latinas have experienced and continue to experience racism and discrimination when they're hyper-visible because of their physical experience. But this is kind of the opposite of that, racial invisibility.
Yeah, what is interesting in all of this is that a lot of these young people kind of were referring to this kind of politics of racial space and place. And one of the things that is sort of contradictory, but it's not really, is that they talk about the experience of oftentimes being invisible, of being ignored, of not being paid attention to. But at the same time, they're hyper visible. You know, they're the elephant in the room that nobody would talk about. So they're obviously there, they're blaringly there, but people won't talk about them. And so a lot of the more theoretical chapters that I talk about issues of race, these young people felt that they were not part of these discussions, that their groups was invisible, that they didn't really exist as a social category when obviously everybody talks about Latinos and have in mind what Latinos are and who they are and what they look like and so on. So on the one hand, they're invisible in a lot of the discourses, but then they're also hyper visible in other discussions.
And we'll continue with Professor Flores-Gonzalez, and I see a lot of calls are coming in, so we'll talk to some of you too right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with sociologist Nilda Flores-Gonzalez, author of the new book, Citizens But Not Americans, Race and Belonging Among Latino Millennials, and Rich in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. I listen every day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I really agree with what the guest is saying. It's like I have two choices. I'm either white or I'm black. Personally, I identify as Afro-Puertequeño, as a black Puerto Rican. And living in New York, it's kind of like people know who I am. But say, for instance, if I go outside of the state and other places that I live, that it's like, what are you? You know, people ask me, are you mixed? You know, or they kind of confused as far as who I am. And, you know, because my skin is, you know, more brown, it's brown. I'm brown skin. Mm-hmm. You know, I identify as black. And, you know, a lot of times I'm forced to choose when I'm filling out an application. It's like you choose either black or Latino when, you know, I identify as both. I don't see that there's being a difference, you know. And
to the point of Professor Flores-Gonzalez's book, how does the otherizing of you by other people affect your own sense of who you are?
It's difficult because I feel like I've always been trying to find like my identity, because it's like, okay, as you say, the, you know, otherizing, it's like society's telling me, oh, you're this, you're that. You know, to be Latino is to, you know, have a certain characteristics. Like, I'm not fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. A lot of my family members who were millennials, unfortunately, were not fluent. So it's just like, you know, society supposedly are to be fluent, or, you know, certain, my hair is more, I guess, it's in between. It's, you know, curly. I don't fit the stereotype. So it's mm-hmm. like me constantly, you know, trying to, you know, figure out who am I and what I represent.
Rich, thank you so much. And please call us again. Israel in Long Beach, Long Branch. You're on WNYC. Hi, Israel.
Hi. Morning.
Great to hear your voice.
Well, like your guest was saying, they're about the spectrum of either being whether you're darker skin and inclining down to being Latino and thinking of yourself as more black, tilting towards black, and on the other side of the spectrum, thinking that you're more closer to white people and whiter Latino. I can see that because Long Branch, suburban area, close to Rumson, Fairhaven, mm-hmm. and a lot of affluent people live around this area. And, well, I work in the area, and I can see that I identify more myself as a whiter Latino. But even though I consider myself a more of a white Latino, when I do go to find work, they do ask the question, do you have a social, do you have working papers? Mm-hmm. And I am a United States citizen, and sometimes, you know, it bothers me, but I understand what I look like, what my skin tone in, and the position that this country is in, and I accept it.
Professor Flores Gonzalez, can I invite you to ask Israel any kind of follow-up question that you might have asked to the people in your study?
Well, I think I just wanted to comment that I think his experience is similar to what I found among the young people that we interviewed, in which this narrative about being an immigrant and this kind of othering as immigrant that many Latinos go through is lived in everyday life, and it's lived in, you know, like, as he's saying, in applying for jobs and asking you questions and doubting, you know, if you can speak English correctly, all these kinds of things. So I see that as very similar to the experiences of these young people. I would just ask you, well, how do you respond to that? How do you affirm your Americanness when you encounter situations in which someone is doubting? And I will add also that this doubting can happen because of the way you look, that people may see you. You know, there's a prototype of who a Latino is. There's the language issue. But the other thing that happens, that I found that happens, is that for many Latinos who may not fit the prototype, the looks of the Latino, may speak on accented English because, of course, they're U.S. citizens. They have been brought up in this country, so they don't have an accent speaking English. That still, their last names or any reference to having a parent who is Mexican or Puerto Rican sort of strips them from their whiteness. And I found particularly interesting that a lot of Latinos who were mixed, who had a white parent and a Latino parent, actually identify as Latino. And this was sort of their experience. Anytime, you know, that their Latin American background then overrode any claims to being white. And so they engage in how they had strategies to deal with how you reaffirm your Americanness. And so I would be interested in knowing how he deals with, you know, how does you respond? How do you affirm that you are American?
Well, simple. Sometimes they do. They'll ask me, do you speak English well? Yes, I do, as you can see, as you can hear. Mm-hmm. And when they do ask, do you have a social, do you have working papers? Some people might find it, other Latinos in my situation might find it offensive and might respond aggressively. But you have to think about where you are, who you are, your first generation Latino, and you have to know the circumstances of what you're putting yourself through, And when they do ask you if you do have working papers, it's simply a yes, and that's it.
Sounds like you've got your feet on the ground and your head on the on your shoulders.
Thank you.
Good luck, and please call us again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And in our last couple of minutes, can I just ask you about your own family on Puerto Rico now? I see that you have mm-hmm. family there, and that your mother and brother have come from the island to join you in Chicago. I'm curious how difficult that decision was to leave their homes, and how would you put your own family family experience so far in the context of the challenge for the island?
Yeah, my mother and my brother came to Chicago about 2 weeks ago because of the situation in the island. They live in the San Juan area, so they were fortunate to be in the capital because there were a little bit more resources. However, they never really saw any relief efforts. I still have a nephew who's there and extended family, and none of them had seen any relief efforts and distribution of food or water. But yeah, it was a hard decision, but we decided that my mother is 83 years old, that it was better to keep her safe, particularly with health issues. She is a survivor of cancer, and so we were concerned about her health and decided that for now it will be best for her to be here. However, this has been very difficult for her and for my brother. They feel displaced. They are actually today on their way to Dallas to be with another sister. Mm-hmm. And they don't know when they're going to return. So this has been a really difficult situation. And if I may, I wanted to add something.
We have 20 seconds.
Okay, so that, you know, the way that the U.S. has dealt with Puerto Ricans and, you know, Trump's attitudes and behavior toward Puerto Ricans when he visited the island also conforms to the things that I'm talking about in this book, in the way in which Latinos and Puerto Ricans, who are U.S. citizens by birth, are constructed and not being truly American.
Nilda Flores Gonzalez's new book is Citizens But Not Americans, Race and Belonging Among Latino Millennials. Thank you so much.
Thank you.